Today's episode is sponsored by Pikes Peak Writers. This organization just held its 26th annual conference back in April. I've been to five or so of these conferences, and I can't say enough about how supportive this conference and these people are. At one point, it was even dubbed the nicest writers conference in America, and I completely believe it. No matter where you are in your journey, whether you're a beginner writer or you've written writing like for 30 years, you will find some sort of motivation and information, craft, whatever you need at this conference. Pikes Peak Writers has monthly craft events, critique groups, and my favorite, Writers Night, where they talk industry and you can just have any of your questions answered. So check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and at PikesPeakWriters.com. This is Writer Nation. Welcome to the Writer Nation podcast. I am your host, Jenny Kate. Before I get to my guest today, I wanted to let you know that Writer Nation now has a Facebook page. You can find it at facebook.com/writernation. So like us there and sign up for email news. I promise I will not message unless there's good information to pass on. I won't spam. But if you sign up, you will receive free access to our closed Facebook group where we offer free tips, advice, and motivation. You can ask any question you have about writing or publishing or whatever, and we'll find you an answer in that Facebook group. If you're a legacy member of the Facebook group, be on the lookout for news about a free gift I'm working on for you now. My guess is that will be out after January, but you know, in the next six or eight weeks, make sure to look out for that. Okay, so today I'm talking with author and president of Pikes Peak Writers, Cameron Clare. I caught up with her in Colorado back in early fall, and you are going to love this story. Because she went from a gamer with like very little interest in writing to a trip to the Arctic Circle where just inspiration suddenly came to her to start writing. And now 5 years later, she's the president of Pikes Peak Writers, a group that boasts more than 2,000 members, and she's publishing her first book. You can find that on Amazon right now. I do apologize up front. We had a couple of bad words that slipped out because we were just really excited talking about writing and publishing and the business of writing. So I do apologize for that. One other thing I wanted to mention is my take on traditional versus indie publishing, because I'm not sure it was altogether clear in the conversation. I'm a big fan of writers publishing through whichever route they want to. I think they really need to pursue what makes them happy. One of the reasons I created Writer Nation, though, was to help writers, whether they're traditionally or indie published, learn how to market their work, because frankly, the industry isn't very helpful when it comes to doing that. They pretty much make you do it on your own. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. If you have any questions about marketing or you want to chat with me about marketing, whether you're traditionally or indie, just email me, find me on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and just ask me and let's have a chat about it. So with that, I just want to say Cameron Clare is going to be a fabulous interview and I hope you love it because I did and she's wonderful and the chat was great. And as always, Writer Nation exists to keep you motivated and inspired to complete your projects. The world needs them. And I think this conversation with Cameron will help keep you motivated. So let's get to it. So let's do talk about where, like, we met through Pikes Peak Writers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When was your first conference?
My first conference was 2014.
So mine was 12. So it must have been through Mary Karen Meredith.
Yeah.
He was an outstanding writer. We both love her.
And I remember when you left, so you must have still been stationed here in 2014. And you must have gotten orders right around that time.
Yeah, because we ended up in D.C. right after that
at
some point in there. So that was your first one, 2014,
mm-hmm.
which thing? Yep. Clearly, you're still around, and now you're the president of Pikes Peak Writers, so it worked out really well for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was amazing. So, like, you know, I actually am not one of the – I always say that I feel like I'm definitely – well, not definitely, but I always feel like I'm different because most of the people that, you know, I know that are writers have been writing for, you know, ever, and they could sit there and say, oh, you know, I was writing stories when I was a kid, and blah, blah, blah. And for the longest time, I was like, not me. I think I did everything I could to actively avoid writing and avoid it as an assignment or whatever. And only after I started writing did I have some friends remind me of like some like things that we did for fun. And we used to, we used to do this thing called paragraph stories where we would...
Wait, how old were you when you did these stories?
Oh, well, I was still an adult, so I was in my 20s. But, you know, it was like, you know, back when there was MySpace and, you
sure,
know,
sure.
or you only had email to right. contribute it, right? And I had some friends that after I did start writing and was kind of advertising the fact that, you know, I was going on this adventure, reminded me of some stories that we had done. And I was like, oh, okay. So I've been writing, I guess, you know, off and on little things here and there for a long time, but never had I had the inkling, desire, dream, mm-hmm. nightmare, whatever you want to call it, to actually be a writer or an author.
Yeah.
I was not somebody who has dreamed of having a book.
So where did that come from then?
So it came from a remote little island in the Arctic Circle. I was actually up there for my day job, and I was...
Your day job took you to the Arctic Circle?
Yeah.
That is outstanding.
So I had a team that was up there, and I was in a position where I'm a program manager now. I was a project manager at the time. And mostly my job was just to be there with them if they needed anything. And this particular little remote site, I couldn't have any electronics on me when I was there. And this was in 2013. And so at the time I was reading Karen Marie Moaning's Fever series.
Nice. Yep.
And this is how stupid I am. I thought that she was brilliant for coming up with Tuatha De Danann, which I'm probably saying incorrectly, but I thought she came up with that stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought she made it up. I thought she was brilliant for coming up with this whole, you know, whole mystical realm, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, of course, later on, I end up looking it up and, oh, Celtic mythology. There you go.
Right.
I'm Irish. I should probably go look that stuff up. So, but I thought she was brilliant, and I fell in love with Jericho Behrens, her lead male character. Like, he's my first book boyfriend. And so anyways, I'm in this remote place, and at nighttime I'm reading the Fever series, and I'm just completely sucked in, and I'm just loving it. And then during the day, I'm stuck at the site where I have no electronics on me. I can't continue reading.
Itchy because you can't like get anything?
Right? And I'm sitting in this room, and this particular site, I'm in essence overlooking water. I'm on a cliff, and I'm overlooking water, and it's a gorgeous place.
Wait. Are you freezing?
No.
So what's the temperature like while you're there?
This was during the summer, so it was
like... not too bad then.
No, it was like 50, 60 degrees.
Okay.
You know, it was great. And
yeah, as somebody who's never been to the Arctic, I would never describe that as great. But yeah, I get it. I mean, because I was in Alaska one summer too, and so I understand. But it was like sunny at midnight, you know, and I'm wearing a sweatshirt in July, but it wasn't, I mean, it was mild enough.
Right, it's mild.
Yeah.
Well, and I had also been there earlier that year in February, so I got to see both sides.
Oh.
Within 6 months, I got to see both sides.
So how cold was it in February?
You know what, I don't even know.
Enough for you to remember, like, being bone chilling?
No, it was more about the fact that I have never been someplace where the ice doesn't melt.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, so I had never been in that situation. I'm from Arizona, right? And I live in Colorado, which, you know, it snows, and 5 minutes later, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I had seen both sides. So anyways, I'm in this room, and I'm overlooking the ocean, and it's gorgeous. And I get this vision in my head of this character, and it kind of goes from there. And I have a scene.
So did you write it then?
I did. So out of boredom, I kind of wrote this scene that I had seen in my head of this woman who's like overlooking. By the way, this scene didn't make it into the book at all.
But you're not writing that scene to put it in a book. You're like, hey, this sounds cool. Let's write it down.
I'm writing a scene. And then once I started writing some of the characters, I really wanted to explore those characters.
Yeah.
And so then I wrote another scene in a different, totally just completely disconnected scene there. And the next thing I know, I just really wanted to know these characters. And I thought, well, you know, what else do I got to do, right? So I started writing. And
okay, wait. So you're not one of those that wrote when you were a kid. You were kind of doing some fun stuff in your 20s.
Yep.
You're like in a remote area of the planet, looking at the ocean, reading some really cool Celtic mystical stuff. And you just, hey, that's fun. Let's write it down.
Yeah, let's write down what I got
to write. That is awesome. So just out of the blue, some sort of cosmic... Oh, you're in the Arctic. So some sort of cosmic something happened and you started writing.
Right. And so I did that. And then that was in 2013. And then I came back to the United States after that trip. And I went from, so at the time, and so I had been turned on to World of Warcraft.
Okay.
And I played it for about 6 months. And I literally had to have some people that I work with who were all in a guild together, and I would hear them talking about it, which is what even gave me the idea to, like, okay, I'll try this, right? Mm-hmm. They had to pretty much take me around and get me from not being dead because I wasn't any good at it. But they were great, and they were fun to play with. And I did that for about 6 months, and I even tried to play it while I was in this remote location, but the Wi-Fi sucked. And then I went from that to every day I came home and I was writing and I was writing and I was writing. And
so wait. You came back from this trip and just started writing every day.
I just kept writing. Yeah.
And where so I started. Okay, go ahead.
So I started writing mm-hmm. and I was writing every day, and I was in essence just following wherever these characters were going to take me. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about point of view. I knew nothing about
character development, plotting, nothing.
First person, third person. I knew none of that stuff. Right. And so, but I just wrote, and next thing I know, within maybe 5 to 6 weeks, I had 100,000 words.
Okay, so where does World of Warcraft come into that?
Literally that I replaced World of Warcraft.
Oh, with your writing. Okay, I see. So, yes. Okay, got it. Right. So one obsession with another.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have no time for World of Warcraft anymore because you're writing. I came home and I played, instead of playing with characters on a screen that was created by Blizzard, I was playing with the characters that I was making up with in my head. Nice. And going from there. And so I was in the Arctic Circle June into July, and then I came back. And so July, August to May, I think it was about mid-September. Mm-hmm. By then I had over 100,000 words.
Wow.
And I kind of had a story. Kind of. And I was like, I wonder what I can do with this. Like, I have no idea what to do next, right? And so I went online and I kind of
Googled. You're back in Colorado Springs.
I'm in Colorado Springs, yep. Yes. Okay. And I Google and I find on a meetup.com, mm-hmm. right, group, I find this Writers Write group, right?
Yep.
And I see that they have a critiques on Sunday or whatever. And so I RSVP, and Sunday morning, I'm kind of, you know, nervous because I'm actually, despite what people see when they see me, I'm actually kind of shy in some ways, and I'm pretty nervous. And I reread the invite, and it says very boldly under Writer's Write, it says for intermediate to advanced writers only.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, oh, that's not me. So I cancel my RSVP, right? So then I go and look for something else, and I stumble. I don't even remember. I don't know how I found it, but I stumbled upon Pikes Peak Writers, and they were having a writer's night at Ivy Wild, the principal's office. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
that's funny. I joined the writer's night stuff probably 2 years before you did, because we weren't always at the school. And I remember when we moved over to the school, because I like that location.
The location's great. It was horrible for Writer's Night. But
it was terrible for Writer's Night.
Great location.
Yes. But it's got the acoustics are awful. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. But the old school and everything, like, that's cool. Yes. That's cool as hell, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they did a good job with that.
So you got your first one. Is this one that Deb Courtney is leading? Or David Swade? Or who's leading it?
So Deb Courtney was in charge of Writer's Night at the time. However, that particular day, I showed up early because in my head, I didn't know what it was going to be laid out like. I wanted to make sure I found a seat in the back because I wanted to be the quiet person that was listening in the back. I show up early, and who's there? It's MK Meredith.
Oh, Mary Karen Meredith. Yes. Nice.
Yes. And so I walk in, and as you will be able to attest very quickly, I walk in and I see this freaking glamazon, gorgeous glamazon sitting there. And she's like, oh, are you here for Pikes Peak Writers? And I'm like, yeah, you know, da, da, da. And she's, of course, as nice and as sweet as can be.
Yes.
And you're looking at her and you're like, nobody this beautiful is this nice.
Right, right.
She's totally faking it. And she totally is that nice. And she's one of my besties now, and I love her to death. But, of course, at the moment, I wanted to hate her because she was beautiful. And there's no way somebody that beautiful is that nice. And yes. She totally is. And she was actually filling in for Deb because Deb couldn't be there. It actually took me anywhere from 1 to 2 months before I finally met Deb Courtney, which was really funny.
Oh, that is funny.
As Amazons, as Deb and I both attest to be.
For listeners who don't know, these women who are gorgeous, they are very tall. they're very tall women. All gorgeous, though, all of you.
Right, so anyway, so I show up, and so that was my first meeting, and I remember asking at the time, I think JT was president at the time.
Of Pikes Peak Writers.
Of Pikes Peak Writers. And I remember asking, so what's a normal word count when you guys sit down and write? What's a normal word count to get on a paper at any time? And I had been told, which even now I kind of like, it really depends on the writer. Every writer is different. Sure. But they were like, if you can get a solid, you know, so 250 words is a page. If you can have a solid page, you know, every time that you sit down, that's, you know, that's a good pace and stuff like that. And they break it down to how many words. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, why? You know, like, how much are you averaging? And I'm like, 2,500 to 4,000 words a night.
That's outstanding. Right. Look at you.
Well, okay.
Was he like, oh my God, really?
Right. So they were all like, oh. And so, but remember, I didn't understand POV.
Sure,
I didn't understand
anything
at the time, right? So I was just spewing.
You were spewing art.
I was feeling happy.
Yes.
I was
happy art. Yes.
I was very happy and I was learning my characters and it was fantastic. And, but so I had that conversation. And then because it was September's Right Brain, they were pimping the Zebulon contest.
Right.
Right.
That's Pikes Peak Writers' annual fiction writers contest.
Yes.
Yep.
And so they were pimping that hard. And I ended up walking out with Damon Smithwick and, Jeff.
Oh.
I can't think of his last name.
Oh, please don't hold it against us when we can't remember. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
So Jeff was running the contest that
year.
Yes,
he was.
Mm-hmm. And so I ended up walking out with him. And it turns out that one, Damon was a member of the Writer's Right that I ended up canceling on. And he said to me, they were both extremely supportive, walked out into the parking lot with him, extremely, you know, encouraging. So everybody, that's the thing, right? So very first writer's event, I'm assuming, because I'm not an artist and I wasn't a writer up to this point. You know, I'm playing around at home. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that writers are going to be snooty and, you know, very catty, you know, because, you know.
Because we're all F. Scott Fitzgerald and Jane Austen.
Well, you know, our art is wonderful and everybody else's is
right,
shit,
right.
So.
Of course we're all that way.
Right. So I don't know what I'm walking into. I just know that I'm walking into a realm that is not mine. And I'm assuming that those are the type of people that I'm going to be meeting. And so the first person I meet is M.K. Meredith, who's amazing and sweet and opening and just wonderful. And then, you know, Damon and Jeff, you know, were so just come on in. And everybody in the thing, everybody was just nice. And no question asked was stupid. And no opinion was discounted or anything. It was a great experience that really sucked me into Pikes Peak Writers right off the bat. And, you know, after talking to the guys outside and they're like, so, you know, what have you been doing? Blah, blah. They encouraged me to enter the contest and I actually ended up placing third in my very
Good
first contest.
Good for you. That's outstanding.
For romance. And so that's how I got started.
So that's how you got started. And now we're going to fast forward a couple of years, because you have a book coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Your first book is coming out.
Yes, my first book. It's my fourth book that I've finished, but it's my actual first book that I'm going to publish.
So now let's talk about this book and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, so I was extremely prolific in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always joke that, and then I learned how to write, which killed my writing.
So I'm going to stop you right there and tell you the exact same thing happened to me. And look, I went to school for writing and I'm like, of course I know what I'm doing, but I didn't touch it until like for 20 years because I was busy being in the military and stuff. So I come to my first Pikes Peak Writers Conference and I'm very excited and I know what I'm doing. It's going to be awesome. I don't know squat about genre fiction, right? I have no clue. And I keep going to these workshops and I'm like, oh shit, I don't know anything. And it did. It killed my creativity for 2 years.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm like, oh God, I can't do anything. These characters suck. My plot's not going anywhere. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
So how did you get over that?
Gosh, that's a great question. Cause I have, and I'm just not sure exactly how it happened. So the first conference I had, I got asked for a manuscript,
mm-hmm.
From Entangled and,
Entangled Publishing. So you pitched.
I pitched to Therese Raymond, who was amazing and wonderful, and I've seen her at other conferences since then, and she's just an amazing, really supportive, you know, encouraging person. So that made me finish the first book. So I finished the first book and...
this is the one you had been working on.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually turned it into an actual book and...
Gotcha.
Put two POVs in there, like a romance should have, and not 12, which is what I had started with. And, you know, I fixed it and I went from there and... I played with that a little bit when it came to playing the business side. And I really just did not want to play with the business side. Mm-hmm. And so that between that and then of course just, you know, life happening, getting promoted at work and stuff like that, you get busy and blah, blah, blah. So the writing stilted and I would have spurts where I would, you know, do a little bit here and then this. And so I was working on the second book and that whole series, which is paranormal, will be like 7-8 books, right?
Nice. So by the time you're done, you'll have 7 or 8 out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have 8 out of it. But that's not what I'm working on now, but, but the paranormal is my love, you know? And mm-hmm. So then I had a story idea that for a contemporary, because in essence, so this is how this worked. Paranormal is my first love. Mm-hmm. But then when I started learning more about the business side and the publishing side and, you know, publishing houses and editors and,
right.
you know, formulas, especially in romance and all of that.
Kills it just a little bit, doesn't it?
I didn't want them to touch my paranormal babies. Right. Those are my babies. Mm-hmm. And so I said to myself and to MK, I think I'm going to write a contemporary because... contemporary is not my first love, and I will be able to, I'll give that to the publishing houses and let them do what they want to with it.
What a great idea, because you're taking the emotion out of it, right? And now you can just write. I mean, I don't want to say that it's not art, but it is. It's just, it's a little bit detached, so you can use the formula, right, that you need to use to write the story.
Right, because I figured I would not fall in love with my characters, mm-hmm. which is just a lie, right?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. If you're going to get to the end, you fall in love with your characters at some point. Or
all
I mean,
of them.
You
good, bad, in between, every single one of them. Yes.
So so that was like the catalyst to get me into contemporary. And so in the end of 2014, and this is actually a funny little side note, because my first book that'll be coming out in November is called Betting the Boss. Mm-hmm. And in my work life right now, I'm
the boss.
And so I have some people from my work life that are supportive of me on Facebook and stuff. So I've shared this little side of myself with them. And I showed all of them my cover. I'm not sure where you want to go on this podcast, but I made a joke about how when I got my cover, I was so excited about it. I was running around with my phone and like shoving it into people's faces going, look. And after about the fourth or fifth person, I realized that it was almost like shoving an unsolicited dick pic in somebody's face.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I need to stop doing this. Like, I need to ask them if they want to see this because I was so excited about it. I've gotten some looks, though, when they see Betting the Boss because
mm-hmm. you're right.
I'm the boss, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've even had a couple of people ask me because they're all trying to figure out, like, ooh, is this about so-and-so and so-and-so? And I'm... considering, you know, where I work and stuff, I'm like,
No, this is not about work. This is something else.
It's not about work. But coincidentally, though, it actually, the story did start, the idea of even having a contemporary story in this realm, which is a business environment realm, did start when I got promoted the first time. Mm-hmm. Because I realized it was when I started working like 12, 13 hour days that I was like, I'm not going to have time to write anymore. Mm-hmm. And so.
Okay, so wait, let me back you up just a little bit. So this book we're talking about right now, it's coming out in January, is contemporary romance.
Yes.
Not paranormal.
Nope.
Okay, so this is contemporary romance. It's book 4 that you've written.
It's the fourth book that I've actually put the end on, yes.
Got it. So where's the paranormal come into that?
It won't for a while.
So that's just your next idea. Is that what you're saying?
Right. So in essence... I got a opportunity. So there is an author and very, very dear friend of mine named Tiffany Helmer. Mm-hmm. And she has a niche in contemporary romance for Alaskan romance. Mm-hmm. She's from Alaska. And she and I met in 2015 at RomCom that was being hosted in Denver. Mm-hmm. And I meet this, 5'6" woman. I'm sorry if I'm taking height away from you, Tiffany. 5'6" woman, blonde hair. She's wearing this flowery dress. She got flowers in hair. She's just cute as a button, right? And she and I start talking, and she's talking about how she writes Alaskan romances. And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to be Alaska, you know, 8-to-1 men, blah, 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 blah. And
these are some serious mountain men, though. This is not Colorado mountain men. Right. This is like the real deal.
And so she looks me up and down at almost 6 foot. She's like, "Oh, they'll love you." And I was like, "Perfect, I want to go." Right. So she has a Cocker Spaniel too. So we become friends online, and she tells me, "Well, I happen to be leaving tomorrow, and have you ever seen those extreme fishermen people? You know, the deadliest catch people and stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, kind of." And she's like, "Well, my family does that." And and I'm getting on a plane tomorrow to go to Alaska to go to fish camp. And I'm looking at her in her cute little dress and stuff. And I'm like, sure okay. You are, right? So a couple of days later, you know, I check in with her on Facebook. I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah." She sends me a picture of her fully decked out.
Oh, yeah. Waiters 50, the whole bit, right?
50-pound salmon in her arms. And I'm like, okay, that's the kind of woman that I just love, right? She's a badass, right? So we stayed friends after that. And last November, she hit me up because she has a Cocker Spaniel. I have a Cocker Spaniel. And she got puppy fever. And she's like, "Hey," and Cadence is adorable. My baby is adorable. And she's looking to see if he was fixed or whatever, right? So her and I start talking. And out of nowhere, I'm booking an RV and we're making an Alaskan trip.
Oh, that was the Alaska trip you just went on. Because those pictures are fabulous. I love Alaska. I mean, I would love to stay in Alaska. But did you love it? I mean, you guys did RV,
it was
right?
Awesome.
RV,
yeah, it was awesome. It was, I think, a little bit more driving than we had realized it was going to be. So it was a little bit more just go, go, go. I definitely want to go again. Mm-hmm. I want to get a B&B in Seward and stay there for a week or so. Yeah. And then a B&B in Homer and stay there for a week and mm-hmm. so. And maybe even try, you know, Juneau or.
Yeah, I didn't get to Juneau. I'd like to do that one.
Is it Kitka?
Sitka.
Sitka. You know, I
remember
I
the proposal, right? The movie,
what?
Yeah, right? There's Sitka for you.
Right. So so that's what we did this summer, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm in an RV with her and Kathy Evans, who's a friend of hers, who's also a writer mm-hmm. in, they both live in Utah. And we get, you know, you put three women in an RV together, you're about to find out what kind of women you really are, right? Like, and so we got along great and we traveled well together. And you know, finding somebody that you travel well together is just a blessing unto itself. And we travel well together and we take this trip and we plotted an entire series.
Oh, that's the seven or eight paranormal. No, that's you have another series?
Yeah. So because she writes contemporary mm-hmm. and she writes Alaskan, we plotted an Alaskan contemporary series. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we world build, you know, 10 days in an RV, we world build, mm-hmm. we plotted out the first three books. She's writing the first book. Kathy's writing the second book. I'm writing the third book. So I, during that trip, and then when I got home, within 15 days, wrote my book.
You wrote that book in 15 days?
Yeah, I wrote it in 15 days. And I really, you know, and so like we have a plan. She has a series right now that she's been writing that she needs to finish and get it all out. And so we're looking at like a springtime mm-hmm. Release of this series, at least the first three books in the series. And then where it goes from there, you know, we'll just take that world and go. And so in essence, Tiffany has given me an opportunity because she, with an established readership already, is in essence giving me an opportunity to launch off of her readership platform, mm-hmm. My Name. And so the conversation came up of, well, I need to get a backlist in place. So I had to come back home and look at the contemporary that I had three quarters written, mm-hmm. and I had to go reopen that and start writing that. And then I finished that. And then I turned around and wrote the second book in about 5 weeks. So I have the second book already written as well for that, for my series, which is the Grayson's Enterprises.
That's your contemporary.
That's my contemporary series. The first book is Betting the Boss. The second book will actually be Enticing the Ex. Mm-hmm. And then, and there's five books in that series that I'm working diligently on to see how far I can get before we launch into the Alaskan series. But in essence, I needed to use this amazing opportunity that an established author is giving me to launch mine. So that's kind of why we're here right now. It's because all of a sudden I had to get off my butt and stop pushing it down the road.
Yeah, it's time to start writing. Yeah.
And it wasn't even writing, because even though I was writing, it was finish it. Mm-hmm. There's something about the 75% mark. There's something about when you start getting over that hump and you're like, okay, I know how it's going to end. Ooh, what's this shiny thing over here? I want to know what these next characters are going to do, blah, blah, blah. Right. So I actually had to finish the ones that I had started. And then, doing the business stuff, which I've been avoiding like the plague.
Okay, so just for everybody to know, did you get an agent or is this, how are
nope,
you publishing?
This is all going to, I'm going to self-publish.
Okay.
For a multitude of reasons.
And now you're learning the business side of all of this stuff.
Yes.
So, so I know this is, what's the right word I'm looking for? Distasteful for you, but tell me the most important thing that you've learned about the business side of it.
I learned this from Tiffany and then even MK, and I have had a lot of conversations too. It totally takes a tribe, which, oh, by the way, is Pikes Peak Writers Conference
right?
theme next year.
Yeah.
But it totally takes a tribe. You have to build your tribe, right? And so I'm not doing this by myself. I am not attempting to become a cover artist. I am not attempting to sit there and say that, you know, my editing is perfect. So, you know, I had to go and ask my friends for references on cover artists and editors. And then, like, I didn't even want to take the time to build a website, even though I've done it before, right? Mm-hmm. So I found somebody just to put the basics out there so I can go and tweak from there. I have somebody who's actually going to help me with, he's helping me with the branding and with my newsletter and stuff like that. And these are people that actually are writers as well, right? But they're also really good at that part.
Yeah.
So they're willing to do it as a business. And I had decided to, you know, it is an investment of money, but it's also, I think that what people forget to look at is how much is your time worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather be writing and tweaking what other people are starting to put in place versus having to build it on my own with not knowing what I'm doing.
I think that makes sense because I do believe that writers are completely overwhelmed these days with the amount of, we have a lot of choices about how we can get our work out. And it's overwhelming. I mean, it really is. And, you know, like I've been doing marketing forever, but that doesn't mean that I've been doing my own marketing forever. So I'm less comfortable marketing my stuff as opposed to I tell you how to market yours all day. You know what I mean? But I'm never going to be a cover artist. I don't do graphics and I don't want to. And
right.
So, yes, I'm very happy to hire that out to a professional. And so I think that's normal. And I think that's kind of what we've all been going through. I would argue since Amazon, but I mean, even when people were self-publishing, you know, 20 years ago, they still had to learn a lot about how to do all of this on their own. I think it's becoming more prevalent now with Kobo and Amazon and all of these ways to put out your work. So in no way do I think that makes you less of a writer or less of an author. I think it makes you smart because you know what you're strong at. You know, you know what you are, where your enthusiasm is and what you can do. But then again, you know, there are still parts of it you need to learn as a writer so you got to understand a little bit of the business, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to be in control. It is your business,
it
right?
Is.
And
yep.
It's
mm-hmm.
your business, and you need to be in control of it. And I think that is one of the reasons why, you know, traditional publishing someday is not off the table for me. But for me, every person that I know that has worked really, really hard to try to get traditionally published or even has, you know, successfully got themselves traditionally mm-hmm. published, they still had to do a majority of the business stuff on their
sure.
own, you know,
yep.
unless you're going to walk in somehow and become, you know, Nora Roberts with your first book or something like
mm-hmm.
it's, you still have to do a lot of the business stuff on your own, even when you're being traditionally published. So.
Well, I think that's part of what's a shame about the publishing industry is known entities make money, right? So Reese Witherspoon's new Whiskey in a Teacup was going to make money because it's Reese Witherspoon from the very beginning, regardless of the fact that, you know, it's her first book or second book or whatever it is. Because we're completely unknown, I mean, we're never going to sell 10,000 copies in first run. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So we have to, I kind of see us as CEOs of our own publishing business, right? I don't need to know exactly how to do all of this other little stuff, but I need to have enough surface knowledge to know when it's not going the right way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it sounds to me like that's what you're kind of getting into right now is how all of that goes down and how it works and what's good for you.
Yeah.
So what do you think is probably the biggest lesson you've learned over the last few months?
Because I think that I still haven't even crossed the threshold from the actual,
really?
You know, I still have to do the Amazon part. I still have to do the actual publishing
part. Oh, and
that's
tough, right? I mean, KDP
yeah.
is tough and you have to learn how to do all that. And you have to learn how to do ads on Amazon as well. You know, and people forget Facebook ads. Okay, that's great. And a lot of people have success with that. But you really, if you're going to post on Amazon, you better know how those ads work too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And luckily I have enough, I mean, you know, being in a community full of writers, you
yep.
definitely have enough people that have already done all the hard work of stumbling and everything
sure.
to to help you out. So I'm lucky that I'm going to have that readily available to me. But I think with the biggest thing I've learned so far is just you have to find, for me, you know, I went for a long time. You had actually asked me and I never actually answered the question of how did you get back into writing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had spurts here and there. For me, this trip this summer with people that were extremely excited and encouraging, mm-hmm. right? So they could sit there and be like, ooh, you know, one of the things that Tiffany and I went round and round about is every time I would pick a name, she'd be like, you can't have that name because you have this person's name and they're too close together. You can't have both of their names on the same page because you'll confuse your reader. And I would get so mad because I'd be like, but I want a Benson, even though I already have a Trenson or whatever the name was, right? And, but like, so you could get that, you know, like, this is what you need to do, but every person has a way that they like to talk to people and like to be talked to. And if you can find some buddies that can receive and communicate to you the way that you receive and communicate, like once you find that, those people are golden and you mm-hmm. need to just like latch onto them. And then the creativity starts really flowing because you can just at any minute pick up a phone and be like, I can't get these people in the same room. I don't know what the hell the problem is. And you just battle it out for 10 minutes and you in essence answer your own question.
Because you have the sounding board of people who understand where you're coming from.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to find those people, and you can have people that you love all day in your community and stuff like that, but it doesn't mean that they're the right sounding board for you.
Sure.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, once you get that, that gives you your creativity and you just run.
Well, speaking of that, I'm going to switch real quick. To Pikes Peak Writers. You are now the president of Pikes Peak Writers.
Yes.
So 5 years after you started writing, you're now the president of a great fiction writers organization that has one of the, in my mind, one of the best conferences in the United States every spring. So what is your goal this year for Pikes Peak Writers?
You know, so we have a lot of changes this year just from under the cover style changes, you know, with like our websites and how we get our conference host and all that stuff. So, I mean, the very
technology
first thing I want to do is
stuff.
Technology stuff. The very first thing I want to do is just, I just want to make sure that we get all that cleaned up so that it's as seamless as possible to our community. Because like you said, we have a very far reaching conference. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, between 350 and 400 people that come every year from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would just like to see, you know, we have some more of our outreach stuff done. We have, you know, our local community, the people that know Pikes Peak know it well, but then we have a bunch of artists here that don't maybe realize. And so the president before me had actually started already doing some of those things. We, where we're kind of working with like local community, mm-hmm. Community art things. And I'd like to see that kind of expand a little bit to see if we could, do some stuff with the kids, because mm-hmm. I actually have friends who have kids that have wanted to come to our conference, and unfortunately you have to be 18 and older, because
yeah.
You know, can't always control every person's content of what yeah. they're going to say inside a workshop. And I would love to see us kind of get involved in that and see if we can mentor like some youth style writing mm-hmm. groups that are popping up in schools and stuff.
Yeah. So when I was in DC, we had there was a teen, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was a teen conference every year that my daughter would go to in February, and it was designed specifically for middle and high school students who wanted to be writers. And it was just a one day, you know, just, it was like 4 or 5 hours. So you had, I think it was 3 different workshops you could go to throughout the day. And my daughter loved it. You know, it was focused specifically on, I don't say children, because they're teenagers,
right?
You know, and yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea because you're pulling them into the community, and this community is great for that kind of stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to be a couple of years before they're 18 and they're part
Amen,
of our community.
Sister, right?
So,
right?
You know?
And I think that's important, though, because all of us as older writers, you know, we're talking about marketing to a generation of people. How do they read? You know, let's look at that, too. And this is an avenue into finding that out. And I was talking to somebody back in D.C. last month, and they're really focusing on how teenagers and, like, those in college are reading their fiction. And they're not reading them on Kindles right now. They're reading them in hardcover. And so how's that going to be in 10
really?
Years? They are. It's a slighter number right now. The percentage is higher for print books as opposed to ebooks. And so in 10 years, these guys are going to be the 35-year-olds who would read, you know, romance novels. How are they going to read those? So she's kind of tracking it to just kind of pay attention over the next 5 or 6 years to see where that trend goes. But having the teenager come you know, to a day, whatever, or a couple hours workshop or whatever, would give you insight into that growing audience of readers too.
Well, and you know, as we were talking prior to starting this, we were talking about the diversity stuff in RWA and all that, right? And, you know, I mean, if we're talking to middle graders and high schoolers, their experience with diversity is so much different than 40 and 50 year old people that are in corporate America during the day and writing in their, you know, basement at nighttime. And so, you know, if we want to see an actual change in the publishing, especially when it comes to diversity and stuff, then we definitely need to be starting to groom them now into coming into our realm and being ready to just hit the ground running instead of having to learn the basics, you know.
I feel like that generation is a little more malleable, you know, that and a little more open-minded and can learn. So I do think the future looks really bright for diverse books and
diverse stories. And how great it would it be that while they're malleable and willing to learn, they actually come in and teach some of the 40 and 50 year olds some stuff that maybe opens up us up a little bit too, right?
That would be awesome. Do you have any other goals for Pike's Peak Writers this year?
You know, I just got on in last week, so...
So she's been the president for a whole week.
Yeah.
So it's time for you to lay out your platform. We'd like to know where you're going to go.
Yeah.
I need all policy letters right now.
I didn't have any major campaigning. I keep joking about the fact that I feel like I was the lesser of two evils because, you know, we had an outgoing president and you know, had a vacancy. So it was time for me to leave the vice president role and step up, but I hadn't actually planned for it. So I didn't actually campaign at all. So I have no campaigning platform. What I would like to do is just make sure that we don't take any steps backwards and then see where we need to take steps forward.
Yep.
You know, we have people that have been involved with Pike's Peak Writers on the board right now from the very beginning, like the very first president is back on the board now. And, you know, people that just love this community and have been involved, you know, 15, 20 years. I've only been here 5.
Right.
So I need to learn everything I can off of them and then see what I can kind of give them from my leadership that I have on my daily basis and see how we can apply that to, I would definitely like to grow the volunteer staff. I mean, it's a volunteer organization. We need to take care of our volunteers, and then we need to see how we can get more people involved. And that's an aspect that just in general, I need to learn how to do and then see how we can broaden it into Pike's Peak Writers is how can we get more people feeling confident that they can get involved and jump in.
And a
community of creative people needs to constantly have new blood coming in to keep that creativity going. And so it's great to have the continuity there, but then we also need to see how we can get other people involved.
It sounds to me like you've got a pretty bright future coming up with your books coming out and lots of cool stuff on the horizon. And Pike's Peak Writers is fantastic. It's one of my favorite organizations. And clearly you're going to be a great president because you've got a good vision and you got to take care of the basics, right? I mean, the technology needs to be upgraded. It needs to be upgraded.
Yeah.
So I think those are good things. And I wish you tons of luck in the next year. And I hate that I'm not going to be at conference, but I'll be there next year.
Good.
So I'll see you then.
Hopefully you'll be living here.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. All right, girl. Thanks for stopping in. And that will do it for us.
Cool.
This is Writer Nation.